Live from New York, the Fox Report.
I'm Lisa Brady. And this is a Fox News alert. The Senate has just voted to end a government shutdown, sending a short-term spending bill onto the U.S. House. Fox's Jared Halpern is live on Capitol Hill.
Well, that Senate breakthrough came after this promise from Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
This immigration debate will have a level playing field at the outset and an amendment process that's fair to all sides.
The Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer dropped his objections to a spending bill on that promise of an immigration bill debate by early February when this continuing resolution expires. Democrats blocked previous spending plans demanding first action on DACA protections for young immigrants brought to the country illegally as children. Lisa.
Well, Jared, President Trump in a written statement earlier today says Democrats came to their senses.
The president was putting pressure and standing firm on exactly what he was willing to do and what he wasn't. And it very clearly worked because we're back where we basically started on Friday.
White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders also says the president's priorities for an immigration deal haven't changed, including more funding for a border wall. He's been holding separate meetings this afternoon with some key Republican and Democratic senators. A relief rally on Wall Street. The Dow up 142, topping 26,200.
There really was this feeling that it would come through, and the markets were doing just fine. Of course, as we got word that it really was going to happen and they were going to move forward with this, then we got some more optimism. But we saw the Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P hitting record highs today.
Fox Business Network's Nicole Petalides at the New York Stock Exchange. Earnings reports also a factor. Netflix announcing it added over 8 million new members in the fourth quarter. This is the Fox Report, fair and balanced.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%, APR 4.36%. But choosing the right mortgage lender involves so much more than just a rate. Only Quicken Loans has earned 12 J.D. Power Awards. No other lender comes close to that level of client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage. It gives our clients a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online in minutes. No one else has anything like it. And our people, each one of our 17,000-plus team members throughout Detroit, Cleveland, and Phoenix provides absolute client satisfaction each and every day. So why would you go anywhere else to get your mortgage? Go to America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
A teenage girl gunned down at her high school in Texas, where the suspect is also a student.
Police aren't giving an update on the condition of the 15-year-old girl that was wounded, but Ellis County Sheriff Chuck Edge says the girl was shot by her 16-year-old male attacker several times.
From a semi-automatic 380 handgun, that handgun was recovered at the scene and is in evidence.
The boy ran from the school cafeteria where the shots were fired and was later caught, still on school grounds. Sheriff Edge says any relationship between the boy and the girl is still being investigated, as well as where the boy got the gun. Charges are pending. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
An explosion at a drilling site in eastern Oklahoma under investigation as the search continues for five workers listed as missing.
Checking the perimeter outside the well. We've had firefighters that have been walking through the woods looking for anybody who might be out there that may have ran off.
State Emergency Manager Kevin Enlow, the explosion happened at a gas well southeast of Tulsa. Late word that Puerto Rico now plans to privatize its state-owned power company after decades of mismanagement and corruption, capped off by criticism over the slow pace of restoring power after the mass devastation of hurricanes last fall. The head of USA Gymnastics says they'll be able to implement change more effectively now that three board members have resigned over a sex abuse scandal.
That after years of sexual abuse at the hands of team doctor Larry Nassar.
Your lack of accountability has been repulsive and inexcusable.
Marta Stern and other victims during 5 days of impact statements also saying heads should roll at Michigan State University following many unanswered complaints about the disgraced doctor who also worked there.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. Those impact statements during sentencing for Nassar. He's already serving a 60-year sentence for child porn, facing decades more. In New York, I'm Lisa Brady on Fox News Radio.
Here is the latest in local news from St. George News. The government shutdown continues as members of Congress have yet to come to a meeting of the minds despite weekend sessions aimed at overcoming the impasse that brought many government functions to a halt on Friday. Republicans and Democrats alike appeared no closer Saturday to settling their differences over immigration policy and striking an agreement to fund the government. The effects of an ongoing government shutdown will become more pronounced today. Among essential services to continue uninterrupted are mail delivery, Social Security checks, Medicare, Medicaid, air traffic control, FBI, Customs and Border Protection, and veterans hospitals. Among non-essential services are those provided at national parks. The parks will remain open, but services that involve rangers, park personnel, trash pickup, and the like will be curtailed. Operation hours for visitor centers may be limited or closed. Weather for the area, sunny and 45 degrees today. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
Do not listen to this show. The truth can be scary. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Driving on a back road on his way to look at some property and suddenly noticed down beside him was a chicken keeping pace with him, and he was doing 60 miles an hour. And suddenly the chicken spurted out ahead of him. And it looked to him as if the chicken had three legs. And then it turned and went down a side road and into a barnyard, and the driver turned down that lane, drove into the barnyard. There was a farmer there, and he asked him, he said, "Did you see a chicken go by here?" And the farmer said, "Yep." He says, "Did it have three legs?" And the farmer says, "Yep. I raise them that way. I breed them." He says, "You do?" He said, "How come?" "Well," he said, "I just love the drumstick, and Ma always liked the drumstick, and now Junior's come along, and he likes it, and we just got tired of fighting over it, so I've been breeding three-legged chickens." And the driver said, "Well, how do they taste?" He says, "I don't know. I haven't been able to catch one yet."
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Oh, hope you're having a great Monday. You are now, though. Doesn't matter how good or bad your Monday's been, it's going to get better because, of course, we have the great Dr. Duke Pesta on with Uncle Milty and I, and welcome to the show, Dr. Duke Pesta.
Hello, how are you two today?
I'm great. Well, we have a lot to talk about. I swear the media just gives us so much.
They're good at like that.
They really are. They deliver our show on wheels every day. Where to start? First of all, there was a letter running around that said, and everybody was sharing it, and people looked at the headline and didn't read the article. And so everyone's going, "Oh, yay, finally good. Common Core's dead." Can you please address this, Betsy DeVos, and what she actually said?
It is remarkable. I mean, Scott Walker did the same thing. This is not by no means is this a Democrat problem exclusively. I remember when Scott Walker was running for president, he made the statement that Common Core was dead in Wisconsin, along the very same lines that Betsy DeVos did. And it's not true. Here's the metaphor, guys, that I would use. It's almost like invasion of the education snatchers. This alien entity, let's call them technocrats and federal bureaucrats, invades America and plants all these pods. The pods are things like No Child Left Behind or Common Core or Goals 2000. These are the pods. The pods then hatch in our local schools, and the creatures that crawl out of the pods end up destroying the schools. What Betsy DeVos is saying, let's round up all the used up hot pods and burn them and ignore the fact that all the aliens are now in the schools. By arguing that Common Core is gone. Yeah, of course, everybody rebranded it. Nobody talks about Common Core anymore.
Nope.
Every state in the union that still has Common Core, including the four states that never took any money for it, places like Texas, Nebraska, those states, Alaska, Virginia, that never took Common Core officially, it's in all their schools too. And what's happened is that once they put the Common Core scheme in place, all the textbook companies changed over to Common Core textbooks. You couldn't buy pre-Common Core textbooks anymore. All the tests, all the AP exams, all the nationwide tests, including the SATs and the ACTs, slowly started to morph into Common Core-based tests. So Betsy DeVos stands up and says, "Hey, No one's using Common Core anymore. Our textbooks aren't labeled Common Core. Our tests aren't called Common Core tests anymore. And so therefore, Common Core is done. Do we really believe that you could, that would be like getting rid of Obamacare. We change the name of Obamacare tomorrow to not the Affordable Care Act, but the scary, ridiculously, impossibly expensive act. And then a president stands up and brags that we got rid of the Affordable Care Act. No, you didn't. You rebranded it. Yeah. You made it worse. Yep. And unless you pull out all those tentacles of Common Core, get all of that Bill Gates money out of the schools, get rid of all those textbooks and buy new ones. And this is not going to happen, by the way. No state is going to now commit to buying new textbooks. You got to get rid of all of that. You got to then retrain a generation of young teachers who've been trained to teach primarily with Common Core pedagogy. You got to get rid of them, reeducate them. Mm-hmm. You have got to find a way then to just get rid of the idea of standardized testing altogether. It's a complete waste of time. And none of the states are going to do this. And I know, Kate, a big one of yours, and why don't you talk a little bit about this, is the first thing you would have to do to even begin to think about getting rid of Common Core and its nasty spawn is to get rid of the Every Student Succeed Act.
Yep.
2015, December, Congress, controlled by Republicans, Senate and Congress, passed the ESSA Act. Talk a little bit, Kate, about why that's the biggest disaster now you first have to get rid of.
Well, ESSA just, all it did was cement Common Core into law. And the problem is they're claiming, Betsy DeVos is even claiming, that what they did was turn education back over to the states. They did not. They haven't changed anything. And so to claim that ESSA is now this big vehicle to get it back under local control, it's one of the biggest lies. And so we must make that known. Correct?
Well, let's not forget that the Every Student Succeeds Act, again, passed in December 2015, primarily by Republicans who controlled both the House and the Senate. Let's not forget that that piece of legislation, for the first time in American history, requires state boards of education to have their curriculum choices approved by the federal government.
Hmm.
So you can argue all you want that Common Core monopoly has been broken up at the federal level. But we got something worse than even Common Core imagined. We now have a situation where the Department of Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos, I could come up with a anti-Common Core curriculum for the state of Wisconsin. The entire state could want it, but Betsy DeVos could veto it. And giving that kind of power to the feds, pretending to take away Common Core, which was already kind of a crumbling issue. And we've talked on your show, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
Common Core was always, it was low standards. It was bad pedagogy. It wasn't going to help anybody. It wasn't designed to make your kids smarter or better students. But we knew from the beginning that Common Core would fall away. The husk of Common Core, like the husk of No Child Left Behind fell away, like the husk of Goals 2000 fell away. We knew that this was much more about a delivery system for greater federalization, greater centralization, greater control out of Washington, more high stakes data gathering on our kids, more meaningless standardized tests. All those things now are in the specular DNA of our schools, and simply eliminating the words Common Core changes none of it. And I want to underscore again.
So just to reiterate, go ahead.
One last thing. Paul Ryan, who was the head of the Congress in 2015, it's an 1,100-page bill, the ESSA Act. Ryan gave his committees, gave his caucus 2 days to read an 1,100-page bill, which none of them read. And the House and then the Senate rammed it through the week before Christmas when nobody even knew what it was. Mm-hmm. So we can talk all we want and we should about the dirty nasty that the Dems did in forcing Obamacare through. But our own Republican Party, the so-called smarter than the ones who should have known better. I call the Republicans the party of should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
They did this. And while they paid lip service to getting rid of Common Core, Kate, what they did was they enshrined it at the federal level.
Yep. And so our states gave away all their power. Our states condoned the giving away of power again. Like you said, if you wanted your state to change and completely get out of it, you can't, because the feds can now veto it, because you have to ask Mother, may I?
Right. And I have no doubt that Betsy DeVos is not likely to start vetoing state recommendations, because I got news for you. Now that this is completely ensconced at the state level, whatever is left of Common Core, now that all the Common Core textbooks are in the state schools, where do you think these states, even ones that might want to get rid of Common Core, where do you think they're going to look for millions and millions and millions of dollars to get rid of Common Core pedagogy and to buy new stuff? It ain't going to happen. So first of all, there aren't going to be any states requesting that to Betsy DeVos that she approve them getting out of Common Core and what's left of it, because there's just no money for it, number one. And number two, The big worry I have is what happens when you get the next Democrat president who appoints the next Democrat Secretary of Education.
Right.
They're not going to approve any curriculum, any state plan that does not move education significantly farther left. And we again thank the Republicans for giving them that power.
Yeah. And just to remind people that like the federal budget in my state for education, it's only 7%. In fact, we've sold our souls for 7%. And there was a big, huge piece in my local paper that talked about the fact they were trying to scare people into making sure they tested because they had to get that money from the feds without disclosing really that it was only 7%. We sold our souls for 7% in these states. And I just want people to realize that. And when we got ESSA, my own senator said, Merry Christmas. This is your Christmas present. And I just thought to myself, you have got to be kidding me. We just sold our souls and made it into law. And hey, it's disgraceful.
I would take a big lump of coal over that Christmas present if it just to piss off the environmentalists. But Kate, you said something else really, really big and important. I want the people to understand what you just said, because this idea that we got Common Core and its spawn without any federal entanglements. Listen to what you just said. For almost every school district in this country, federal dollars were contingent upon the federal money that the little bit, 7-6% that came to most states, that was contingent upon the schools getting 95% of their kids into this federal testing. So that's where the bribe worked, right? That you could, we paid lip service to the fact, right, that moms and dads could opt their kids out of these tests. The liberals boasted that our tests aren't mandatory. But then you flip it around and look at what actually happened. The feds would only give that share of money to the states if they forced most of their kids into them. That's why most states caved, right?
Right.
Because you're right, it's only 7%, but that's still money that venal politicians have already spent elsewhere that they don't want to have to then make up for education.
Mm-hmm.
So even the Republicans figured, well, you know, we can't turn away this 7%. We can just divert some of the money we already raised in other directions. But that means that you are on the hook for this. And the fact that the Fed has so many little tentacles like that beyond the testing, right? 95% participation, which means if 95% of Utah kids had to take the tests or else Utah wouldn't get it 7%, what do you think the state education administrators did? They got on the horn with their principals and their superintendents.
Mm-hmm.
They said no kids opt out for any reasons. They bullied and badgered parents. They spread lies and rampant propaganda aided by a left-wing media.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole thing, the idea, it's so insulting that Betsy DeVos can say with a wave of basically not even waving a wand, just by saying it, right?
Right.
Common Core is gone. It is a very, very venal and very, very dangerous mistruth.
And, you know, we're live in Illinois. What about Illinois? Has there been any outcry? Has there been any outcry about ESSA in Missouri? We're live in Missouri. You know, all of these different states, I'm not seeing an outcry. I'm not seeing people still fighting. It's as if we just sort of accepted, like we do everything else. We just go and accept. What has there been an outcry in Chicago?
They enjoyed the movie.
Yeah,
Dumb and Dumber.
not only has there been no outcry, I would bet still after 7 years of the Common Core era, I don't think there's one parent in 200 that can tell you coherently what it is. There is not one American in 10,000. That can tell you the first thing about the ESSA Act. Common Core was it got a lot of press after it was too late to remove it. So some people had a chance to figure out what it was. But the ESSA Act was done during Christmas week on a Friday when no one was paying attention.
Yep.
It was done under the board. People had no chance to read it. What was in the ESSA Act was never reviewed by any of the media. No moms and dads ever knew what it was. And here it's already going on over 2 years now that we've had it. And no one knows the first thing about it. Yet it successfully places the power over education in this country, not with the local communities, not with states like Illinois or Missouri or Utah, but with the federal government. And that has to be removed by law. You're going to have to pull it out at the House and at the Senate level, and you're going to have a president who's willing to pull it out as well and not veto it. The odds of that happening again in our lifetime is exactly zero.
Yep. What started out as a state's bribe is now law. And that's the message people need to walk away from is we cemented it. It isn't going anywhere. Common Core was designed to fail, and so that they could keep rebranding it so that people thought we were getting something different, just packaged with a different bow.
And it's nothing new. really, because both No Child Left Behind and ESSA were just reauthorizations of the 1965 Elementary and Secondary Education Act.
Yep. We'll be right back. More with Dr. Pesta when we come back. March for Life, all kinds of stuff coming up. The truth when we come back on The Kate Daly Show.
At NewbieBuickGMC.com, we just made leasing easier. When you lease a new Buick or GMC from Newbie, we include all dealer fees, taxes, and licensing right into the payment. And for zero down payment, you can lease a brand new GMC Canyon, Terrien, or Acadia. Or for zero down, lease a brand new Buick Regal, Encore, or Envision. At NewbieBuickGMC.com, you can look at their inventory of new and used cars with special Newbie internet prices and discounts.
I was amazed at how easy it was to search for my car and schedule the test drive all online. I can choose the options, features, and even the colors I want. Now that I have my new Buick, I can even schedule a service visit through NewbieBuickGMC.com. It's so convenient.
Leasing a new GMC or Buick has never been easier at Newbie. Get your new lease for zero down and have the taxes, dealer fees, and licensing included right into the payment. Shop online for your next car, SUV, or truck anywhere you are. Go to NewbieBuickGMC.com for leasing specials, internet pricing, and daily updates. Experience car buying the Newbie way at NewbieBuickGMC.com today.
So my kids were hesitant to broach the subject. Me moving into a retirement home? They thought I'd say no way, no how. But are you kidding me? No more home maintenance. No more being home alone? Boy, were they wrong. I love it here. So much to do and none of it's work. Hashtag Daddy's got a new home.
Beehive Cottages Independent Living. Where you live should look like home, smell like home, and feel like home. We've gone out of our way to make our homes truly a home away from home. BeehiveCare.com.
What makes Stuckey Family Pharmacy so well-loved? Just ask one of their biggest fans, Corinne Clayton.
As a mother, it feels very comforting, very empowering to know that I am not the only brain trying to figure out these concerns for my kids. I have wonderful doctors as resources, and adding Sam and his knowledge into that has been truly a blessing for me and for my children. I would highly recommend go and visit with Sam Stuckey. Go and see what he thinks about your health concerns or what's going on in your family. I would be willing to bet that he may have some ideas for you that you haven't thought of before. For anyone, if you've lived here for 5 minutes or for 50 years, I would recommend go and talk to him.
Experience the difference at Stuckey Family Pharmacy, just off Telegraph near Kohl's, or online at StuckeyFamilyPharmacy.com. Stuckey Family Pharmacy, where you are family.
Pyology Pizzeria is now open in St. George.
At Pyology, you get to choose just the right amount of their 8 signature sauces.
And enjoy more than 40 of the freshest toppings to build your perfect pizza on Pyology's delicious house-made crust.
All for one low price. It's made right in front of you.
Then stone oven fired to perfection in less than 3 minutes.
You can create the perfect salad, too. Choose from 3 lettuce options.
Then load it up with crisp vegetables, savory meats, and all of the freshest toppings you want. You have to see their line of all the tastiest ingredients.
It's amazing.
At Pyology, you create the perfect pizza.
What a great new way to take the family out.
Everyone gets what they want. Right now, you can join their Pie Life eClub at Pyology.com. Pyology, in St. George on South River Road, next to Yogurtland.
This is Kate Daly. My sponsors are the best. Boulevard Mattress, located at Boulevard Home Furnishings. Get an incredible mattress at a low, low price. And St. George Massage, stgeorgemassage.com to schedule today. No messy memberships, just an incredible massage. You deserve it, and it makes a great gift for someone you love. And the St. George Area Chamber of Commerce speaks on your behalf with the combined power and influence of over 700 members. Join today at stgeorgechamber.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Hi there. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Wow, we have such a show for you today. We've got Uncle Milty and, of course, Dr. Duke Pesta, and we're discussing all kinds of stuff. In fact, I the March for Life, so grateful that the president showed up for that, so grateful that we had so many millions of women showing up. The March for We Don't Know What started, and I don't even know how many people, but it was very few, actually. There weren't too big what Milty calls it.
The March for Idiocy. There weren't many people except in a couple of the big liberal cities.
Right.
That's it.
And that was it. But March for Life got about 2 minutes of airtime. Dr. Pesta, what did you think? I just couldn't believe the numbers.
Yeah, it was unbelievable the way the media is so nakedly partisan. I mean, when the so-called Women's March, the Liberal March, it was a shell of what it was before. I mean, my God, they spent most of their time fighting over their baby kitty knit hats, remember? To use the euphemism, right, the baby kitty hats that they were wearing, because they were unfair to transgender women. I mean, this is what the whole thing devolved into, right? Mm-hmm. That not all women have baby kitties, and so consequently, the baby kitty hats that they had been wearing were offensive. That's literally the level at which this progressive women's rights march was operating at. It's completely irrelevant. Meanwhile, you had a very cosmopolitan, a very diverse, a very animated, and a very committed group of women marching in Washington, all coming together to talk about an issue that crosses lines, political lines, crosses ideology. You remember in the Women's March how pro-life feminist women were disinvited. That didn't happen here. And yet the media has nothing to say about this other than to point out that to cast the usual aspersions, right? That the pro-life movement doesn't represent Americans. It doesn't represent women's rights. It doesn't represent an adequate cross-section of American people, when in reality, it does way more than did that feminist march.
What really pleased me was the feminist march. When you looked at pictures, it was all older women who looked angry. And the March for Life, there were huge, huge numbers of young ladies smiling and happy.
It's true.
Yeah, I like to call the feminist marcher crowd the hysterectomy crowd. Right? And by the way, the hysterectomy, not for medical purposes, just because you can do it, hysterectomy.
Right.
But I don't want to be a woman hysterectomy crowd. Mm-hmm. That's what you got going on there.
Yes. In fact, there is a tape I could play. I'm not going to, but it was so funny because they were trying to get anyone to verbalize why they were in this this liberal march. And nobody could. It was, we just hate Trump, or it was, I don't know, women just need to be recognized. And I'm going, they have been for years and years and years. What's your problem? So they couldn't even vocalize it. In fact, when just asked the basic question, why are you here? They honestly looked like deer in the headlights because they couldn't verbalize an answer. They don't even know why they're marching. At least the marching
women are the same people you see on college campuses over and over again when you stick a microphone under their faces and ask them, why do you oppose Donald Trump? They can't answer it. When you lay out for them, and we've seen all these different pundits do it, give them the Democrat tax plan. And say that it's Trump's tax plan. They love it when they think it's Trump, the Democrats. Mm-hmm. But when you tell them it's Trump, they just don't know how to react.
Right.
So it's reflexive. All this liberal protesting is reflexive. It's like scratching an itch or yawning. I mean, it has nothing to do with any considered intellectual path of logical sequence. It is just a reflex against who their leaders in celebrity leaders, the Ashley Judds of the world, political leaders, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, tell them who they should be marching against.
Yeah. They love to be told what to think.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Actually,
they really do.
They do. But the women that were at the March for Life knew why they were there.
Yep.
It's very clear. Any one of them could have articulated why they were there. And the March for Life is something that I completely believe in 100%. I stand behind. And we have to defund Planned Parenthood. And I'm so glad so many women took the time to show up, because we need these voices. Whether mainstream covers it or not, or gives them 47 seconds, I think ABC News World gave them 47 seconds or something ridiculous on airtime. It doesn't matter, because the rest of the country knows what's going on. The bulk of the country is pro-life, the bulk of the country. And the outliers, the ones that really do believe in Planned Parenthood, are such a small demographic. Yep. considerably. They're getting all the airtime, but it doesn't matter because the majority of the country understands and understands what a wrong turn we made decades ago and how many lives have been snuffed out because of this. And so I'm so supportive of this movement. And I do think that you almost have to force mainstream media to give it some, I don't know. I'm not asking for validity from mainstream because we'll never have it because they have their agendized media. But still, these are the things that the American people need to stand behind if they really want some change. They really do need to show up.
I literally fell out of my chair when the president said Roe v. Wade was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we owe him a debt. The optics on that were huge. And, you know, with all due respect, shame on George W. Bush. Shame on the first Bush. Shame on Ronald Reagan for not standing up at this event and making comments. And I'll say one more thing. We now know, and this is the reason we see the difference in the two kinds of marches is because it's not just our religious attitudes support a pro-life stance, but that logic and science and simple common sense, those are all on our side, too. We have that. The pro-life people in this country, the majority in this country, the majority of women in this country, we have logic, common sense, and science on our side. Mm-hmm. The science of biology and baby development in the womb, those things really are on our side, not to say nothing of the religious arguments. So as with so many major issues, the left really doesn't have anything but emotion and politics ideology. If we had anything like a fair and balanced media in this country, we probably would be at the point of overturning Roe versus Wade right now.
I would think, absolutely. In fact, you sent me a great piece, and I had seen this come across, and I'll tell you something. This is huge because we're talking about how the impact of this smaller group is making on America. We get it, but this adolescent report, this should shock people, Dr. Pesta.
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, you think about it. There's a reason why the national health care law, Obamacare, extended childhood to the age of 27. Really staggering when you think about it. It's funny. On the one hand, kids are babies now until they're 24 in this article that I'll get to in a second, or in Obamacare, they're children until they're 27. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, then what justification do the same liberals who are making this argument make that we're providing radical sex education to teenagers? We're giving elementary school kids now lectures on transgenderism. Which is it? Are our children babies until they're in their mid-20s, or can we sexualize them like adults at the youngest of ages? This is the inherent paradox of stupidity in liberalism.
Yes.
Even as we seek to protect kids into their early retirement years as children, right? We're taking them out of diapers and putting them into sex gender surgery reassignment courses. It doesn't make any sense. But the article you mentioned, Kate, is a good one. And it's basically adolescence begins at age 10, but it doesn't end now until age 24, we're being told. The authors for an op-ed in the Lancet Child and Adolescent Health Journal argue that the transition period from childhood to adulthood now occupies, surprise, surprise, a greater portion of the life course than ever before. At a time when, they say, unprecedented social forces, including marketing and digital media, are beginning to affect health and well-being across these years.
Can you imagine adolescents? So what are they when they're 18, 19, and 20? Not a man, not a woman anymore. They're a man-child? I'm not quite even sure what this means. It's so ridiculous.
They're called parasites, living off their mother's basement.
Exactly.
That's what you call them, right?
Living parasites, at home.
Right? Living in their mother's basements. It's amazing when you think about it. This infant, it's funny, and I just have to go back to this, Milton. I want to hear what you were going to say, but this, on the one hand, we infantilize them when it comes to responsibility, when it comes to serious life choices, when it comes to looking after their own welfare financially and morally and ethically. We infantilize them when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to things like sex and drugs and relationships and gender, we completely treat them as if they were morally cognizant and capable at very young ages. It doesn't make a lick of sense.
There was a lady on the Facebook I saw who was charging her 5-year-old daughter a little bit of her allowance for rent, and she was accused of child abuse. And
my mother-in-law is a preschool teacher in Arkansas. And a few years back, she had a situation where a little boy, kind of a glandular freak, big boy, he was about almost 100 pounds at age 4, and he was walking around and pushing down the 3-year-old girls and sitting on them. Well, she took the kid and put him in timeout. She sat, put him aside and said, look, sit here and think about what you did. She got a nasty letter from the Arkansas State Board of Education weeks later in which she was excoriated for punishing the boy. Mm-hmm. These girls that were sat on were never mentioned. The idea that timeout now is considered a kind of harassment, a kind of bias against kids. It's considered developmentally wrong to separate a kid to make them think about it. So what I loved about the letter is that all these little girls who were being abused, they were never mentioned. But how dare you put a kid in timeout? That's child abuse, she was told.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. So can we change the voting age to 24?
That'd be nice.
That's right. Exactly. Not vote. You can't vote till you're 24.
Yep.
You can't. How about this? You can't go to college. We don't let adolescents in college.
Right.
You can't go to college until you're 24. And then maybe you have to pay for it yourself, too. Mm-hmm. That would be a nice addition to all of that.
Toys R Us should put out a new slogan. You know what I mean? Really and truly, we're just a Toys R Us nation.
I had been out on my own for 7 years when I was 24.
I know. You know what? Back in the day, by the time you were 16, you were paying for things. You were working. And it's funny in this day and time that it's almost child abuse to say to your kid, get a job. And go ahead.
Well, think about this. Given our cultural expectations, the sort of unlimited liberty we keep hearing about, this radical access to everything we need on our cell phones, the huge growth in the welfare state, it should go the other way. We should have kids living on their own at age 12, making their own sexual decisions, having their own genitals mutilated in surgeries they select at age 12 and 11, having hormone therapy that they ask for at age 7 and 8. These kids ought to be, given the trajectory culturally, the progressive trajectory of culture, these kids should actually be living on their own at age 12. I know, if you'd have told my mom, a single mom of three boys, that at age 12 we were ready to get our own apartments and live on our own, she'd have been right there. I'd love that. It'd have been fantastic.
But look at what we have to teach them now. Basic hygiene in the workplace, how to properly dress, how to clock in and out. They don't know. They've been on their phones. How to work with others. I mean, seriously, we have to start from scratch just to help them get a job. Whereas before, most people had their first job around 11. You had a paper route, or you worked on a farm. Or I know my husband worked on a farm. He got paid 35 cents an hour. And then most people have their real job, buy their own car at 16. That doesn't happen anymore. People just we're getting this sort of hook, line, and sinker liberalism. Now kids need to be Peter Pan forever and ever until they decide to grow up. And I'm not quite sure
A lot of parents get their self-esteem from how successful they make their 16-year-olds look.
Yeah.
Right. And the empty nester thing, too. They can't stand the idea that their kids are going to ever grow up on them, because we miseducated this generation of parents, too. But you think about it. Education in this country for about 170 years, 50 years at least, was about empowerment. It was about self-governance. It was about the ability to take care of yourself.
Yep.
American education was devoted to creating independent citizens and entrepreneurs. Since at least 1980 in the Department of Federal Education, it has been about entitlement, infantilization, and victimhood. And it doesn't take long to completely erase a country's history when that's the case. Our focus in the schools is self-esteem, making kids feel good for not having achieved anything. We don't want kids to have an excellent education. We want them to have a common one. An excellent education means that some kids won't be able to be at the top of the class. A common education means everybody has lower expectations, so we can all be the same.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I think about my 19-year-old in Panama, and I can't. I mean, he's his own man. He does what he wants, and he asked me for. He said, you know, hey, I'm using a straight razor now, and I said, why? And he said, because I got my man card. I'm using a straight razor, and I just thought,
hey, Panama, there's no way they would treat a 24-year-old or an 18-year-old like a baby.
No,
no way.
Exactly. I love it. You know, this is so eye-opening. It should be very eye-opening for people that this is where we're at right now, and that what we have always known in hard work, and you make your dream happen by investing yourself and your time into it to make it happen. This is another coddling sense of entitlement. I'm not grown up till I'm 24, so you better just help. And how many parents are right there at the ready? We just really do need a parental, new course or something. I'm not quite sure what to get parents to understand what we're doing with these kids.
Well, I like what one sociologist said about this pushback. She said, an English sociologist said about this, quote, "There is nothing inevitably infantilizing about spending your early 20s in higher ed or experimenting in the world of work. We are now treating even college life," and you can see this with a snowflake generation on campus, right? "We are infantilizing college by telling kids that speech can hurt them so much that we have to get rid of free speech. The world of work, corporations are griping because these kids show up from college entitled and unable to handle any kind of stress or hard work."
Absolutely. We'll be right back. More with Dr. Pesta when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Why is health insurance so expensive? This is Dr. Brent from Balanced Healthcare, and this is a common problem that many face today. On average, a monthly premium for a family of four is over $2,100. On top of that, we have co-pays and deductibles, which cost even more. And with government subsidies going away, things are just going to get worse. But why is healthcare so expensive? It is expensive for insurance-based doctor's offices, too. Having to submit these bills to insurance, hoping things get paid, on average, 15 to 20% don't. Maybe this is why a Band-Aid from the hospital costs $47. But at Balanced Healthcare, we do things different. We thought it would be nice if a clinic posted its prices online. We thought, you know, it would be nice if a small fee gave you access to your primary care physician or chiropractor without a deductible. And we thought it would be nice to get out of this rat race and stop paying insurance companies to tell you what doctors you can see and what healthcare practices you can do. This is the Balanced Healthcare difference, and this is why we invite you to trust your care to Balanced Healthcare.
This is Kate Daly. I love my sponsors. Best Mattress, the best place to buy Tempur-Pedic with every model on display. Save up to $1,500 on Serta, Beautyrest, and Sherwood. Free delivery and setup with the Best Mattress 120-day satisfaction guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? St. George Ink and Toner. If you want to save money on ink for your printers, see St. George Ink and Toner at 42 South River Road. And Beehive Homes. When you want the highest level of care for your loved ones, go to BeehiveCare.com.
My name is Rainey Peterson, and before I was introduced to Red River Health and Wellness, I had a multitude of problems. It's starting to get more frequent headaches and not being able to lose weight. I had hormonal and fertility issues. Everything hurt, and it was just everything I could do just to try to do the daily things with my kids. When I showed up for my first appointment, we discussed a really simple program that we could do for me to get on that would hopefully correct everything. Since I've started the program, the changes in my life have been beyond remarkable. I've gotten to the point where now I have maybe 3 headaches a month, where I used to have to stay on allergy medication just to keep them from going into migraines every day. Calling Red River Health and Wellness is the best decision I've ever made for my health and well-being and for my family. I highly recommend that you call Red River Health and Wellness at 435-767-9355 and tell them Rainey sent you.
Red River Health and Wellness, chiropractic physicians.
2018 is here, and if you're like most people, January is the perfect time to make a New Year's resolution. Hi, this is Justin from The Mattress Store. Start 2018 with the goal to sleep better. At The Mattress Store, we believe in blissful, life-changing, and restful night's sleep. Save hundreds and take advantage of our 2017 closeouts, and you'll see why nobody beats The Mattress Store in Cedar by Lynn's, Washington next to Best Buy, in St. George on Bluff next to Ace Hardware, and now in Bloomington next to Walmart. Nobody beats The Mattress Store. Nobody.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
That because of what happened today. Chuck Schumer caved and agreed to the meeting they already had planned, and then agreed to basically wind down the shutdown. Just too funny. What can I say? No eye of the tiger there. Great negotiator. Anyway, welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I've got Uncle Milty and I've got Dr. Duke Pesta on with me. Just so ridiculous. And all of this over DACA that was illegally passed by Obama. It's just enough just to make your head want to explode. Thoughts on that, Dr. Pesta?
Yeah, you know, the entire premise here, and I can't believe Republicans continue to fall for it. DACA is, like you said, Kate, it's unconstitutional. It's just one of those executive order power grabs of the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. But because of the way the media reports it, the average American who doesn't know better seems to think that this was written into the Constitution. Oh, yeah. The 34th Amendment of the Constitution was the right of illegal immigrants to be able to have all these benefits. It's not. Right. It is unconstitutional. And part of the problem is you've got states like California, Kate, as we've been talking about, that are in blatant, in-your-face, unconstitutional attitudes about this. And we've got a federal government that won't do a thing about it.
Oh, exactly. Yep. I mean, this whole thing was just, it's ridiculous because it's not about that. It's about the voters and it's about getting voters. And I wish people really understood that. And the fact that they want to care more about illegals' rights, which is an oxymoron, than Americans' rights, because we're actually citizens and have them, is absolutely asinine. So I'm not quite sure how people follow their own logic on this one. It's amazing.
And the Democrat Party was actually willing to shut down the government over the rights of illegals so that Americans, actual hardworking Americans, would not get paid as a sop to this. This is unbelievable. and it's also, by the way, why the Democrats cave so fast. Yeah. Because even the mainstream media could not put lipstick on this pig.
No, and also we happen to have a president who, as the executive should, upheld the law.
Well, Milty, you're right. But not only did he upheld the law, which means a lot to you and me, but doesn't to a lot of people. How about this? We had a president who actually stood up and used the power of social media to call out the Dems. He yes. actually said the Democratic Party is willing to shut down government, shut down military money to military families, shut down federal parks so that they can give more to illegal immigrants.
Yep.
Where was Bush on this? Where were any Republicans on this? Where was Mitt Romney when he ran against Bush, Obama? The refusal to use the power of the press, the media, social media, to actually call this what it is. If Donald Trump deserves credit for nothing else, it's the fact that he will stand up and he will say it. And there's no way the liberals can hide from it.
That's right.
We had that kind of vocalization from all of our past Republican presidents. We haven't.
I know. Absolutely. And so that brings us to California, because this, I think, shocked people. You know, I don't know how much California can actually shock people anymore, but it can. So please bring this up, because this is just, you're just going to shake your head. There's nothing to say. I don't even know what to say to it.
Well, California, I have long referred to California as the vile petri dish of American politics. It's where you grow in that filthy, swampy culture. Mm-hmm. All the plague germs of out-of-control government, of open borders, of anti-free markets, of ridiculously high tax rates. And like it or not, it's true. What happens in the petri dish of California gets weaponized, if you will. It becomes epidemic levels in the rest of the country. And that's why it is really important that a showdown has to loom here. Look, if under the Obama administration, when Obama wrote his Dear Colleague letter about Title IX, right, where he basically said without passing a single law that we will prosecute, the federal government will prosecute schools that refuse to let little boys into little girl locker rooms. This was treated as if it was the force of law. The full power of the Department of Justice and the executive branch, without a single law being passed by Congress, forced every school in this country and every state to change. And you look at something much more significant now, the absolutely unconstitutionality of allowing foreign aliens to vote in American elections. That's where California is. If that doesn't call for the sending in of the National Guard. I mean, think about what happened in the 60s when individual states refused the Civil Rights Act. They sent the National Guard in to make sure that little kids, African-American kids, got to go to school, public schools, alongside white kids. Why is this any different in terms of a legal challenge, core principles of American government?
There isn't any difference. And hopefully we'll see that yet.
Yeah, it's so... It's the blurring of the lines between citizens and non-citizens that I think our entire Congress needs a crash course on again. They have so blurred the lines, and they've said it's because compassion. It has nothing to do with this. And if we don't start waking up to this, I don't know where our country's headed. But as far as beginning April Fool's Day, which is kind of kind of funny. They would start on this day. The state will comply with the quarter to begin automatically registering to vote all those who are granted driver's license, and they're granted driver's license when they come here.
Yep.
It's amazing to me that that's even the case. I don't think people really realize this.
How about the arrogance of states like California? California will not send its own state officials to states that aren't liberal enough. So if you're a state, remember when North Carolina did not let little boys into little girls' locker rooms? State of California put a moratorium on travel for state employees from California to North Carolina. I mean, on the one hand, California has completely torched the Constitution, has thrown open their borders, while at the same time demanding more of the rest of the country's federal dollars. While doing that, they are also telling their own state employees, you won't travel to any state whose politics we don't like. The hypocrisy could not be more galling in this.
Yeah.
In all fairness, though, in California, they have said that if an illegal alien comes forward and opts out of being able to vote, they're allowed to do that.
Well, how about this? So what the Californians are telling us is that it requires a valid driver's license to be able to have voting rights if you're an illegal. The same Californians would tell us that to make the rest of the state have a driver's license to vote is racism.
Yep.
Explain that to me.
Oh, absolutely. And why are they combining driver's license with voting in the California new Motor Voter Act? A Motor Voter Act. Why are these two things even being put together as one? It's ridiculous. There are 5.5 million eligible voters now that were unregistered as of February last year.
Well, and what about people who don't drive? I mean, if you want to talk about giving priority in terms of voter registration to people with a driver's license, that seems awfully odd to people who don't have them. I mean, that's a genuine concern you could make an argument about. And again, I go back to that. So for the average Californian, boring old white Californian, to argue that you need some kind of valid ID to be able to vote is just a mark of your white supremacy and your racism. Mm-hmm. But when you hand out, the chain of events here, when you hand out driver's license to people who are here illegally, who've broken federal law, and then you then tie voters' rights to that driver's license, why is not the National Guard, why is not Xavier Becerra under arrest right now? Why is not Governor Moonbeam being in a federal holding cell until he actually instructs the people of his state to follow the Constitution of the United States?
You know, I'm from California, but I'm actually wondering if we could sell California to China. Just for kicks.
Don't they already own it?
Yes, they do.
The fact that La Raza was on the side of this lawsuit that made this happen says a lot.
The race, right? And the whole premise of La Raza is that it's our state, not yours.
Yep.
And the politicians of California agree. This is not an American state.
It is
This not. Is a state that belongs to Mexico. And so if we're bringing in all sorts of Mexican and South American illegal immigrants, all we are simply doing is restoring the state by any means necessary to the people who rightfully own it. Yeah. In other words, the pre-existing laws before California became a state, that's what California has more sympathy to than the Constitution of the United States itself.
Yep. You know, those before the driver's license for illegal aliens was passed, people were speaking up and they were saying, this is where this is headed. And they were deemed conspiracy theorists because they were saying, you know what, it's going to end up with voting. It's going to end up with all these things. And everybody poo-pooed it and said, oh, no, it'll never happen. Now look what's happened. And so I really wish people can be heard when they say, this is what's going to happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
This is the liberal game plan. Let's finish the show where we ended it with Common Core. Mm-hmm. We were all mocked, Kate, when we said 5, 6, 7 years ago what Common Core would lead to. Greater federal control.
Yep.
All of it came true. But this is the way the liberals are on every issue. They push the envelope as far as they possibly can. They marginalize anybody who complains as a lunatic, as a conspiracy theorist. Then after it's too late to change it, they admit that that was the plan all along.
So true. I say there should be a law that says for every illegal vote cast, they lose $1 million in federal funding. Boom.
That Arizona, Nevada, and Oregon should put up signs on the border that says you're now leaving the United States of America when you drive into California.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? Okay. How about every illegal vote, Every 24-year-old living in his mom's basement as a child has to give up their vote. How about that?
There's a good one.
There you go. I mean, between this, between the let's make it a criminal offense to feed homeless, every week something comes up. And even when they regulated cow flatulence and are taxing and fining people for the cows, farting is just amazing to me that they actually get this stuff through. When I would actually like to see it kind of go, because like you said, it's the petri dish for the worst. And then what happens? It comes and it makes its wave all across the nation. Because back when they had Common Core, everybody thought that the rest of the states wouldn't take it. And then, boom, they took it. And California seems to lead out with the worst legislation in the country. It's disgusting.
I just got to say before time is out, and for all you Californians who, and by the tens and hundreds of thousands, all you Californian businesses that are fleeing to Idaho and Arizona and Colorado and Texas, don't bring your stupid politics with you. Leave all of your political nonsense in California. When you move to those states, do not destroy them by importing the germ, the petri dish germs that you just took from your state into those other states. That's what's happening over and over again.
Amen.
Oh, it's so, yes, amen to that. And I know it sounds like a joke, April 1st, but they really do have it. They do have this starting April 1st, mm-hmm. that illegals with driver's licenses can vote, which 5.5 million votes. Now we know why Hillary got the puppy mm-hmm. with 3 million. That's, we're talking convincing these people to vote Democrat. It's just amazing. I don't even know what to say. Well, California is such a joke right now.
Thank God we had the Electoral College. But even now, with the additional votes, Trump would still have won the election.
Yep. And yes, but that's the game plan. They want to oust Electoral College. Yep. What do you think about that, Pesta?
I think it's exactly right. I mean, any any semblance of a constitutional republic is abhorrent to them because it does not allow them to use the mob. It's why the ancient Greeks, by the way, hated democracy, and it's why the founding fathers hated pure democracy, because it's basically just mob rule. Yep. And so what the Democrats in places like California want are bigger and bigger mobs. They don't want a rationed approach to this. They don't want common sense. They don't want to adhere to the Constitution, which is representative government that extends across the country. What they want are more and more mobs. Mobs will quickly put them in the majority. Constitutional republics never do.
What did you think about the inland part of California separating from the coastal cities into New California? What did you think about that?
It would be a start. I mean, it would break, at the very least, it would break up the electoral imbalance that is California. I mean, starting any presidential election period, with about 22% of all the electoral votes already guaranteed to the Democrat, that's a problem.
Yes.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Democrat Party, too. They are really divided right now. Even in the shutdown, they're divided. It'll be really interesting to see. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just curious as to why the new California people aren't aware that if they got off their behinds and voted better, they could maybe turn some of this around.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Ultimately, you get the government you vote for.
Yep.
But ask yourself this as we get ready to sign off here. Think about how bad the voting record of California has been, how contrary to constitutional values. You think it's going to get much better or much worse when you start passing out voter ballots with IDs, with driver's license?
Yeah.
It's going to get much worse, right?
Yeah. Look,
in California, they will not deport an illegal who doesn't have a driver's license and runs over somebody with their car four times. That's not a deportable offense. The consequence of that now is you get the driver's license and you get a ballot. Isn't that wonderful?
You always make great sense. FPEUSA.org is the organization. Dr. Duke Pesta, I'm so glad that you do what you do, and I'm so grateful that you come on this show to do it. And also, check out FPEUSA.org. What a great national organization, accredited school, to educate your child in the truth. And I just applaud your efforts and what you do. Thank you so much. We'll see you next Monday.
See you next week.
All right. And we'll be right back with Bill Holter, the economist, is going to weigh in and let us know what's going on with the economy right when we come back after the break, after the news break. This is the Kate Daly Show. Go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com, of course. We'll be right back.
holidays may be over, but Findlay Kia keeps on giving.
Right now, get 0% financing for an entire 75 months.
Plus, 90 days deferred payment option
on a 2018 Kia Forte, Sportage, Sorento, and Optima.
Start your new year outright
with 0% financing and 90 days deferred payment
on a brand new Kia.
From Findlay Kia.
On the saving side of the freeway.
Because we believe in you.
FindlayKiaSt.George.com.
On approved credit through KMF, excludes Optima Hybrid and PHER model. Frontier 1720 FICO score financing. See dealer for details.
The St. George Water Store wants to say Happy New Year with a very special offer. Get 30 days of water service for your home or office free. That's right. No hidden costs, no delivery fees, no energy surcharges, just refreshing, healthy, alkaline water delivered right to your door for no cost for 30 days. Discover the difference. What have you got to lose? Contact the St. George Water Store today to claim your 30-day free trial. Go to sgwaterstore.com.
93.1 FM, 1450 AM, KZNU St. George, 98.5 FM Cedar City, KAZZ Parowan, KCLS HD4 Leeds.